We've been reading this book, and I'm covering chapter 7 of the book that we've been reading. And chapter 7 of the book is titled, give me one second, it's titled Act Like an Ant. The book that we're reading is called 9 Things You Simply Must Do to Succeed in Love and Life. And it's oftentimes we don't realize and we fail to acknowledge the fact that in life you need wisdom. And that's why you have the book of Proverbs. Not only, you know, the idea of serving God, things like that, but, you know, serving Him to the best of your ability and being wise and dealing with this world that we're in. You know, this is actually not an ideal world. This is not the way God intended it. So we have to be more cunning than we've ever been. We have to be wiser than we've ever been. Know how to deal with the fact that we're not amongst all Christians, all Bible-believing, all, you know, manners of, that we're actually among all manners of people that have all manners of beliefs and principles that they live by and such. And when oftentimes in the faith we forget that we need to be wise and learn how to deal with the world and how it actually is at the time, at its current state. It's a fallen world we live in. Yes, people are nasty, people are ugly. And then the way the system's set up, you know, they tell you the worst is reap what you sow, this, that, and the other. But sometimes, you know, you'll be sowing and sowing and sowing, and others are reaping your efforts. And because men are evil, and they've perverted the ways of God and the natural happenings of God, things like that. Where we've got, with knowledge and science, we've been able to, you know, contradict God in so many fashions and stuff, and been able to thwart Him and pretty much set our own destiny. And that's part of the sinful nature, man. That's always been our thing, you know. We, with our pride and our arrogance, we want to play God. But to get back to the point, the principle, 5 of the 9 principles that the author speaks about in the book is act like an ant. And the scripture we're going to want to pull up is Proverbs 6, and it's verse 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. We're talking about considering the ant. And Dad was talking about this last week, or Pastor Hicks was talking about this last week. Yeah, Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. Yeah. It's about consider the ant. In the book, he talked about how actions affect the future. And what you do today, you know, affects you later on and stuff like that. Whether it's be good or bad, if you have bad eating habits, you know, later on you're going to suffer with high blood pressure, this, that, and the other, or diabetes. If you have good exercise habits later on in the future, in your old age, you'll have strength on you. You won't suffer with ailments natural to people, aging people. But your actions, they really do affect you in the future. They affect things that happen. Your actions are to be considered. You know, you have to think about what are the gravity of your actions, and what do they add or take away from. Yeah. It says, consider the ant. And the scripture goes, I'll read out the book, where has it? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. I'll read it again. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. And the way the scripture is written, it says the ant gathers its food at during the summer, and then it stores up its food during the summer and then gathers it at harvest. And these are two different seasons. These are two different time periods. And the thing is, like, when you're planting or anything, you probably know more about that than anyone. There's a time of growth. You know, the time that you plant, where the season is ripe for it. And then there's a time that you take the plants because, you know, the weather's going to get bad, times are going to get hard for the plant or for the crop, and you have to harvest it and store it so that you'll have it for later and such. And this, what is important about this is that the ant, you know, it has no overseer nor ruler, and it does this on its own. And oftentimes, you know, if nobody's telling us what to do, what nobody's breathing down our neck, we're blind. And that's not a good way to be. That's not a good way to be. You have to be independent in a sense. You know, oftentimes we talk about being sheep. You know, and we're only sheep to God, and we only succumb to Him. Things like that, but after that, it's on us. You know, we have to consider our own ways. God has given us, you know, this godlike characteristic of, you know, being able to trace and cut out your own path, things like that. And that's a great likeness to God that we share, and He's given us that responsibility. Oftentimes, we're not aware or choose to not be aware of that. And we just go, we're waiting for a man to lead us. We're waiting to sit up under somebody and them tell us what to do, which hoops to jump through. When God's talking to you, when He's put a vision in your heart and you're not going at it, it's the easy way out. It's the easy way out. But, you know, it says, consider the ant, you sluggard. You might be the hardest working person for somebody's vision, but you're still lazy because you're not serving your own. You know? And you have to think about it like that, because it really is easy. It's like, oh, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to bear the heartache, the turmoil that comes with chasing my dream, chasing my vision. Let me just jump behind this person, and you know, whatever they're doing, whatever they tell me, wherever they need me at, I'm just gonna follow because it's the easy way out. Even though they'll work you like a dog, and they're reaping your harvest. You know, I'm not telling people to be rebellious and not learn to sit up under somebody or to serve a purpose. Like, for instance, a man goes in the military wanting to fight for his country, but he knows there has to be a general, and he knows what place he has to play. But his idea is fighting for the country, things like that. So he sits up under his general and play his part for the greater good, for the victory at the end, but they share the same vision. You know, so in that manner, they're co-laborers. The Bible says, you know, we're co-laborers with Christ. If we're co-laborers with Christ, why are we sitting up under somebody else? You know? You're co-laborers with your pastor, too. You know, your pastor is your general, and he's driving you towards the same purpose. You know, your submission should only come out of love and respect, you know. But the pastor's not your father, this, that, and the other. You know, he didn't birth you this or this, that, and the other. So don't hold him up as a godlike figure. You know, you're only sheep to God. You have to take control and authority over your own life. You know, don't be a sluggard. Don't be lazy. even though you might be the hardest working person in this church, you're still being a sluggard. Keep your mind and know that when you're in a body of people, you're working in a group towards the same vision. And that's what a true man of God does, you know. He's not so worried about his vision, he's so worried about his flock. You know, he looks for your best interest. And that's what that Pastor Hicks' vision is for this church, making people whole and things like that, making them better people, helping them to thrive. You know, because when you're whole, you can chase your vision, you can chase your dreams. And it was funny, I was talking to a friend last night. I brought up the idea of, there's a character in X-Men. I used to love comic books and stuff like that. There's a character in X-Men. There's Cyclops, you know. He's like, you've probably seen the X-Men movies. He could shoot lasers out of his eyes. And then there's his girlfriend, Jean Grey, who's a powerful psychic. And then she has an entity in her called the Phoenix, which is an even more powerful psychic. She could live probably, you know, 100 tons with her mental capability. And then you have Cyclops, who you, in the movie you see him like shooting lasers out his eyes, and like, you know, probably busting doors down, this, that, and the other. He probably knocks something over, or hits somebody in the chest, and they fall down on the ground and everything. Yeah. But that his visor or whatever is kind of like a gauge that holds back his true power, because he actually has the, if he didn't have those glasses or that visor, he could destroy a mountain with all that energy that comes out of him. You know, and they eventually in the future have a kid. This sound corny, but this is what's up. You'll get the point later. They have a kid in the future, and you know, him being a powerful mutant, she being a powerful mutant, he's a powerful mutant. And it gives him like this great psychic ability, even greater than his mother, things like that. And he has full control over it. But this guy named Apocalypse knew that, and he infected him with a technovirus. It's like, if you see the character, can you pull up a picture of Cable? Yeah, if you see this character, he has one metallic arm. It's made out of metal because the technovirus is slowly changing him into metal. So, and it already took over one of his arms. So when you meet Cable, he has minor psychic abilities. He can make himself invisible by, you know, blocking out your image, his image from your mind. And he can only do it for maybe like a group of 10 people or in a certain vicinity. And that's because his full potential is hindered by that technovirus. The majority of his ability to fight back the virus, that's why it hasn't taken over his body. And that oftentimes that's the case for us. We have everything that ails us, all our issues, all our hurts that we're not overcoming, and we're not made whole. So we're the stress and hurt, you know, all our mental ability is being used to make it through the day, to just get by, you know, just to repress and suppress that hurt, that pain that you haven't overcome, and then you're not living to your full potential. Yeah, that's Cable. That's the metallic arm that he has, you know. Yeah. He's fighting back the virus and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. All right, you can take it down before they start clowning me. But that's how it is with us, and that's why we have to be made whole. And that's what's important about this ministry and what Dad or Pastor Hicks is trying to do. I could speak forever about his character and things like that, but you know, that's not the point. But what I want y'all to understand is that we have to be made whole. And so when we're fully made whole, we can chase the vision and play the role that God has destined us for. And in the book, it's talking about considering the ant. You know, so let's continue on that topic. The ant, the author, he says that, you know, he thought about it and he went out and bought an ant farm. And the way an ant farm works, you know, you get to see the progression of the ant farm and such. And you'll see all the networks of the tunnels whenever the ants finish. But then he just sat there and looked at it, and he's like, he sees little ants carrying grains of sand. And it's like one ant carrying grains of sand. And it seems like there's never progressing. But he left it for a time and came back. And then lo and behold, the farm was complete. The mound was built. You know, you can see the network of tunnels and everything. He's like, wow. You know, it seemed like they were doing nothing. They were doing little by little by little. But eventually, in time, they were able to build something great. And that's the nature of the ant. And he talked about sometimes you have tasks that are daunting, that seem great, that seem like a lot to do. And go back to the chapter, because he went over some things that usually ail us, or thoughts that usually get to us when we're trying to chase our dream, when it's so lofty that, you know, we need help with it. And it's actually very practical. It's nothing that's so spiritual that you know, he didn't give you ability for and stuff, or that he's not helping you with. You know, you have thoughts of like, I have never succeeded before in spite of many attempts. Then the distance from where I am now to where I want to be seems so great. The goal is just too big. You know, things are too messed up to have any hope. You know, I don't have the skills. I don't have the resources like money or help. I don't have the time to accomplish it. You have all these things that you have to think about and consider, because, yeah, it's tough. It really is. People have families. People have kids. And then you have to work so much to pay bills in America and such. And you have to work to take care of your kids. How are you going to be there to raise them? You know, you can't monitor them 24/7. You can't give, especially if you don't have, if you're not in the pay grade, if you don't have that type of money. And oftentimes, poor families suffer because, you know, they have to make sacrifices to raise their kids when it comes to make sure they have food in their belly, clothes on their back, you know, a house over their head, you know, and they're not there to give the child that 100% attention, things like that. So it makes everything tougher, makes everything harder. But consider the ant. It takes one grain, by one grain, and eventually that mountain is built. Oh, he says something else that really stuck out to me. I think it's important. And because sometimes you look for the quick way out, but that's not what's up. It says, taking the long road one tiny step at a time will actually get you there faster, because you will not lose time by trying shortcuts. You know, just muscle through it. It's daunting? Yes. It's 1,000 steps you have to take? Yes. But start. Start. You know, take that one step. Take that next step. Commit the 5 minutes a day to the book that you're trying to write. If you're trying to work out, do at least, you know, 10 minutes of the workout. Then what's called, the habit grows with you. 10 minutes turns into 20. 20 turns into 30. 30 turns into an hour. Before you know it, you're just athletics buff. But that's how you should take it. Break it up into pieces, you know. Don't let go of your vision. Break it up into little pieces. Consider it an ant, little by little. But he sticks with it. He continues. He adds on. And eventually, with time, you know, whatever you're trying to do is built. But grab onto your vision. grab onto your vision and grab onto your dream. Grab onto whatever God put in your heart. Search your heart. Search your soul. You know there's something in there. You know something you kind of repressed or put down because you're fearful. You know, but don't be. Don't be. Have these wisdoms about yourself. You know, consider the end whenever you do work. In tiny steps, in tiny steps. Yeah. But then, in those dark times, you know, those times where it's all coming down on you. It's all seems so hard. You're kind of getting depressed. You're like, man, can I catch a break? Sometimes, you know, you build something, and then something comes along and destroys it. Oftentimes, you think about church splits. People spend 15, 20 years building a church, and then some type of sower of dissension comes in, splits your church down to 20 people. Wow. No, sometimes that comes along, and it happens, but you have to keep fighting. That's what it is, guys. You have to keep fighting. At the end of the day, you have to choose to keep fighting and say, okay, yes, this might kill me. Yes, this might happen. You know, I might lose in the end, but I'm going to die fighting. I am going to die fighting. That's how we have to look at it. We have to, oftentimes we don't develop that warrior in us. There's a fighter. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're losing your children. You're losing your husband, your wife. You're losing these members or in your family. Yeah, and sometimes it's a losing battle. Sometimes you do lose. Let's be real. You know, sometimes disease wins over them. But die fighting. Die praying. You know, die pursuing. Die trusting. Die hoping in the Lord. You know, that's the mindset we must have. And in the Gospels, Paul would often talk about the saints, those who passed, you know, who didn't get to see the end goal. You know, they passed fighting and warring and trying to win souls for the Lord. They didn't get to see the end goal, you know, but they died fighting. And they had that hope, you know, that, you know, they played their part and that, you know, whatever they did, you know, mattered. And at least they know in their heart they gave everything they got to putting towards that end goal of seeing people one to Christ. Consider the ant. Break it up into little pieces, guys. Yes, it's daunting. Yes, it's hard. You know, and but we're great people. We're capable men and women. We're very capable, especially with God on your side. Have faith. And my dad, he used to talk about how when he gave the people of Israel the promised land, he gave it to them with enemies on it. You know, they fought for years to get this land. You know, he gave it to them with enemies on it. And that's the nature of this world we live in. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have situations that are against you. Sometimes they're spiritual. Sometimes they're natural. Sometimes they're people. Sometimes they're conditions and situations. Sometimes you're born into environments that are against you and stuff like that. Or you have bad situations that you're not in control of, but that's but unlucky you, that's what you're born into. But God gives you strength. God will reserve you. God will help you. God will stand, and he'll hold your hand as you walk that path. But enemies are there, and you have to fight them. You have to war against them. And oftentimes, we look for solace. We're looking for peace. You know, it's a fight. It's a war. It really is a war. We have to go out there and give it our best. You know, and war and war and war and war and war and war. And really fight for what God has for us. Yeah. Keep the faith. Take these practical steps. You know, divide whatever it is. Whatever is great and daunting, whatever is big, whatever you're dreaming, divide it into these little steps, you know, in like the ant would, and eventually with time you'll see, you know, you'll see your progress. In hindsight, when you look back, you'll be like, wow, look what I've done, look how much I've accomplished by the 5 minutes that I've committed a day, or by the time I've committed in prayer, this, that, and the other. Okay? But that's all I have for y'all.